Philippians 3 and 14, famous passage. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We came into Nanaimo a year ago as a family, actually just over a year because we started in October, November, December kind of thing. But God has taken us on a journey that we believe we're following in obedience to. And being here in Nanaimo with the intent of reaching those that are far from God and being in relationship with those that are far from God, that they might too experience the same saving grace that we have experienced in our lives and the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit living, the full embodiment of Christ working through us. And it's been a ride, hasn't it? It's been good. There's some good things and there's some amazing things and there's some things that you wish that you could just forget about sometimes. But we began the year with growing forward as a church, as Harewood Community Church, and making room, making space for healing. You remember, if you remember way back, and those that you weren't here, I apologize, but we're going to just have memory lane for a little bit, just briefly. We started with becoming a hospital, being the hospital, a place where people can find healing, where a person can find rest, where a person can find, where the Holy Spirit can come and do that heart surgery on us and bring healing, bring redemption, bring freedom. A hospital is what a church is, a place where we can heal. And then we went into family, becoming a family, being a family, a place where people find belonging, of course, that you find fellowship, that you find common unity, that you find well-being, that you find often rest. Sometimes you don't. Every one of us comes from different familial backgrounds. The church, though, is a place where you can have family of God and belonging to that family. And then we talked about being an army. Rising up in your gifting and calling to make a difference. Maturing. Serving. All these things that are challenging. But as an army, you know it takes discipline to be an army, to be a soldier, to be on mission. It takes learning those disciplines and growing and maturing and being strengthened and revitalized to speak life into the community that we live in, to reach into the community and rescue with Christ on mission. Making an impact in our city, in our workplaces, in our relationships. To walk through healing, we went further. We spent a few months going through finding freedom in Christ. Heart blockages, we talked about those things that block our heart. Deliverance from unforgiveness, rejection, fear, shame, doubt, learning to surrender and give it to Christ. We are free to forgive because we are forgiven. And when we walk in His forgiveness, we learn what forgiveness is and what it looks like. It's not reconciliation. Reconciliation is a restored relationship, but you can still forgive without a reconciled relationship. We learned what a disciple is, the why, the what, and the how of being activated in your gifts on the Great Commission, on the going, as you go, where you go, and what you do, and what you're doing. It's not a one-time, three-time, four-time, a lifetime missions trip. It's you're always on mission with Christ, in partnership with Him. The participle is what it is. You are participating in the mission, the practicality of completing the perfect work of Christ in the earth. And that's seeing as many people saved from darkness, delivered from darkness, freed from bondage, and given their hearts and surrendering their lives to Jesus Christ. Then we went through our own next steps. We brought on next steps, as you know, some of our curriculum that we do here, our discipleship and our growing steps. But we too went through our own next steps as a church, did we not? We went through transition, stepping into our calling as a church, stepping into the promised land that God has for us. By faith, we stepped in. Knowing that when we crossed that river into the promised land, it wasn't that we went empty-handed. We drew our swords, knowing that we had to fight our way through the darkness, fight our way through the obstacles and the things that wanted to tear you down and hold you down like the crabs in the bucket. Armed with swords, we fought our way, and we still will. And that's okay, because we're walking in our calling, walking in our gifting, walking in that fullness of life that has been given to us by Christ Jesus, postured for transition. That means being readied and willing to go into transition. It never ends. As we grow older, as much as you don't want to grow old, and I use my you know, my eye lightening cream and my wrinkle free and dye my beard and just kidding, I don't do any of that, but the thing is that we don't like to move forward. We would like to be comfortable. We're creatures of comfort. But transition is what God designed you to actually do, to walk through transitions for the rest of your life. I know that's uncomfortable, but God gives you strength and courage and resilience and grit to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit that's poured out into your heart. Transition, stepping into our calling. Overcomers, conquerors, army rising up on mission. And we talked about the importance of the memorial altar, not just forgetting about everything that... So we talk about legacy. We talk about honoring our past. But often there's things that God has done in our lives that we forget to honor, that we forget to look back and say, hey, I built an altar of memorial there, right there. I remember when God delivered me from alcoholism. I remember when God delivered me from my addiction to pornography. I remember when God did... so and such and so and so. And I built an altar of memorial that I can remember every time I remember when I'm tempted or when I look back and I can see that altar and look at those stones that were put together. The significance of an altar of memorial, remembering all that God has done for you through each portion of your journey in life. Not forgetting all that God has done for you. Not so much transfixed on your past, but remembering what you have gone through and learned through that. Walking by faith and not by sight. It's saying, God, I trust you because I've surrendered. Because my belief has turned to faith. My faith has turned to trust. Now because I trust you, I surrender it. And then we talked about, we talked about and experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I remember the Sunday morning. I don't know if you remember, but I remember that it was an amazing Sunday morning where we talked about walking in the gifts, walking in the Spirit, walking in faith, walking in surrender and trust, and then saying, okay, God, here I am. Baptize me fresh with the Holy Spirit. And we talked about what that looks like. And we're going to do that again. I think it's an amazing opportunity to have as a congregation, as a family, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. To be filled, let my cup be running over and over and over. Baptized with fire. Baptized with power. Then we went through love. Love. Being born of God. God is love. God dwells in you. Thus, love dwells in you. That's the very DNA and essence of God is love. And that brings forth, that unison brings forth an offspring where the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and on and on. Love is the very characteristic of God that we get to carry. We get to be carriers of love. Turn your love light on. Let the love of God flow from you and speak through you and reach through you. Being born of God. New creations, transforming you and your minds as lights of love. Some of the things that I'm celebrating, and I hope maybe you can celebrate with me this morning for 2019. 98 next steps were taken. 98 next steps is those are the steps that you and I have taken to grow in our faith, to grow in our maturity, to learn about our design, to learn about those giftings and callings, to join a family and be a part of a bigger context, to be a part of a bigger congregation than me alone and by myself at home. It's those next steps is I want to be baptized. I want to be buried. I want to bury this old man in Christ Jesus and rise again a new creation. Small group leaders, we'll talk about small groups, saying I want to be a small group leader. I want to be a community builder. I want to be on mission in my home, in my neighborhood, in my workplace. 6 decisions were celebrated in baptism this year. Thanks, Jesus. What an amazing thing to celebrate. What an opportunity to walk alongside with here in this assembly and this gathering of believers. 45 people were connected in relational small groups over the fall 2019 semester. 45 of you and others outside of our congregation here connected in small relational groups. Powerful. We find freedom in small groups. Together, we walk this out. When you are going through something, and I'm going through something, or I have gone through something, it's powerful to be able to speak life. Let my testimony be prophetic to you. Look what God has done for me. I know He can do it for you just as well. It's powerful. You confess your sins to one another, your faults to one another, saying, hey, I'm struggling with this. What's your experience in this? Powerful to do life together. 45 people. We transitioned our identity from Harewood Community Church to Beloved City Church, a regional reaching church, a church that had a heart and still does have a heart and passion to reach our city with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. We relocated to here from Harewood Community, relaunched. We've remissioned from a church as a mission to a church on mission. The challenges that we've walked through, we're going to continue to walk through and grow through those and understand what does it mean to be missionalized as an individual? What does it mean to reach those that are far from God in the context of my own personal life through my small group? Recalibrating as a church around missional presence and engagement at relational levels. It's all about you and I being in relationship with one another. It's powerful to be in relationship. Why? Because relationship builds trust and rapport. It's hard to influence someone in your life if you don't have a relationship with them. Engaging intentionally in reigniting missiological roots, the foundations of Jesus Christ, what he came to this earth for was to see the kingdom of heaven advancing, growing, developing, maturing, and then continuing that same cycle and being on mission and bringing others into it and doing the same process of walking through that maturity and discipling others. Christianity without discipleship is like Christianity without Christ. This is the DNA. This is the framework of what Christ set up here on earth, is we're on a continual missiological framework of discipling someone else. Who are you discipling today? Who are you mentoring and saying, hey, come and walk with me as I follow Christ? It's not about me. I'm not Jesus. But as I follow Jesus, walk beside me. Let's do life together. Renewing, revitalizing. Hey, we've been talking about renewing our minds, being revitalized in the Holy Spirit, being restored, encouraged, strengthened. Our view and methodology to prevent the continual drift away from following Christ deeper into each of our local neighborhoods, workplaces, relations, on mission in a post-Christian mission field. Hey, Canada is a mission field. You don't have to go too far south and into the States, and it's a very different approach. It's a very different world. Talking about Christian, talking about believers, there's a lot more people per capita that are following Jesus. In Canada, we don't have that statistic to glory in or to revel in. We have a lost city, a lost country, an unchurched population. And being on mission with Jesus, with the good news of our Savior, can change our world. We went through a leadership model redesign inspired by Nehemiah. We implemented this early on in the new year, 2019. Nehemiah, who was called to rebuild the walls of a ruined Jerusalem, he selected leaders to build specific portions of the walls by family, by gifting, by skill set. Each rebuilding with one hand, a portion of the wall or a gate or whatever it was, with one hand with a shovel and another hand with a sword. Hey, we're building and fighting at the same time. This spiritual warfare that we are presently engaged in doesn't mean that we just focus on fighting, but we're building at the same time. Pick up the shovel, whatever it is, the stones, and let's build as Christ builds through us his kingdom and advances it through his body. I remember, and you might remember this, but this specific scenario came to relevance for us as a family 1 year before we came to Nanaimo. This scenario, Nehemiah, was prophesied over our family at Couching Camp by a friend that we didn't know at that time, has become a friend, and said, I see a picture of Nehemiah, and I see you being a part of that picture, and your family with a sword in one hand and a shovel in the other hand, and you're going to pick men, and you're going to go under cover of night and pick those men and rebuild that wall. And it was an interesting perspective. And that picture became a reality in this present time and over this year. And it's been a great year and a part of our strategy. The area of focuses have intentionally been reformation of our worship culture. Worship is a large part of what we value, of course. But we believe in having a culture of worship. It's got to be the very essence of who we are, or we are designed to worship God. And so we make space intentionally to worship God and use song and use minstrels, whatever that is, use instruments and people that play those instruments. I think that's what a minstrel is. Gathering together and worshiping Jesus. Another focus we've had intentionally over the last year is developing children and youth ministries. We believe that the next generation is more unchurched than any other generation in the history of Canada. Generation Z, they call it, is a generation of outrage. But they're also a generation that's looking for transcendence. They're looking for something that's bigger than themselves. Because we've already learned that I can't find fulfillment through my own self. I want something bigger than me. There's got to be something that gives me hope. I've tried everything in this world, or I'm still trying everything that I can possibly to find that peace. But youth and children are one of our priorities at Beloved City Church, and we're going to continue to make that a priority, always raising up the next generation to see the gospel of Jesus Christ furthered and advanced in our country more and more and more. We started with the formation of relational small groups. Harewood has always had small groups, but we intentionally pursued the intention of building more small groups and having more small groups. And I encourage you for this new year coming up, this new semester, if you want to run a small group, man, I want to be behind that. I want to support that. How can I do that? How can I support you in that? How can I be an encouragement in that? Because I believe that small groups, or relational groups, is the core philosophy of ministry. You and I, each and every one of you are ministers of the gospel. You don't have to be ordained to run a group. You don't even have to have a grade 12 education. You don't even have to understand the Bible in its context or in its origins. Or it doesn't matter. It's getting together and being the body of Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to work and move and teach and guide and walk with you. You'll mature. It's okay. You'll understand what, as time goes by, the depth of the scripture and the context that it's speaking to and how it speaks to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heartbeat is all about the one. It's those, that one person, that one lost sheep, that one lost coin that we focus on. It is about the one, those that are far from God. So our focus has always been and will continue to be that one. Why? Because it shifts our focus from ourselves to outward thinking rather than inward thinking. It's all about me. Is I want to be impassionate by the one, those that are far from God that need Jesus like I have felt and experienced. Maturing in the unity of faith. See, the other side of the coin of discipleship is those that are far from God and the others, those that are maturing in God. That's discipleship. It's a double-sided coin. Our vision has been and will continue to be a church that is city-reaching our city with the good news, and community-rooted in our community through small groups. Missiological foundations, we are on mission, each and every one of us, in whatever capacity we can be, with one person at a time, three people at a time, and we gather and we celebrate one. On Sunday morning, we celebrate the collective, coming together to worship Jesus, coming together to grow and learn. Celebrate one. Our mission is really simple, so that we might maximize our impact in our city. Multiply Jesus followers. It doesn't have to be very complicated. Hey, come follow Jesus as I'm following Jesus. See, the disciples were followers of Jesus before they were converts. Often we want to convert people to faith before we disciple them. Just disciple them with your life. Just exemplify what Jesus looks like and how Jesus walks on the earth through you today, how he loves through you, how the world finds hope and peace and joy and love through being in relationship with you. Matthew 28:19 is a powerful passage that we're very familiar with. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Always on mission as we go, where we go, in what we do, and in where we're going and doing. A continuum of a missionalized body. Unified, equipped, empowered by the Holy Spirit, released in partnership with Christ to continue his good work in the earth. We talked recently about the fivefold ministry and the significance of this ecclesial architecture, the development, the framework of the fivefold ministry found in each and every one of us, I believe. It's not just a leadership, it's also a ministry gifting. Jesus gave these gifts when he ascended, just before he ascended, and we'll read about it here in actually Ephesians 4. And it's developing a core model of leading up, leading forward with the same framework as I mentioned in Nehemiah. Here we are, Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Let's read it. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience bearing with one another in love. Verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Verse 9, in saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. Verse 10, he who descended is the one who also ascended for above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. This is Jesus. In verse 11, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint, Christ being the head, with which it is equipped when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. A core model of leadership, ministry development, leading up, leading forward is our primary framework of ministry development here at Beloved City Church. And I encourage you to walk through step two as our discovering that God-given gift, those talents, those skills that God has given you and wired you with, so that you know how to work in those and walk in those with full confidence. It can be really pessimistic of us and insular to look back over any year of our lives with, I wish I should have, I could have, if only I would have. So this has been a recap of our year in 2019, and here we are today with a rewind is almost completed. And some of you, and even myself, there's things that I've looked back, And I stop myself because it's not that I want to live and I wish I have, I wish I could have, I should have, could have, would have kind of thing. But God allows us to go through things so we grow, so we learn. I don't know about you, but I learn by the mistakes I make, and it usually takes 16, 17 times before I actually learn it good and proper. It's usually the third or fourth speeding ticket in that same road that you learn, man, it is 15 here, not 90. I wish I should have, could have. And right now, the rearview mirror can give you a glimpse of where you're coming from. We just went through the rearview of 2019, where we're coming from. But it also is time to look forward through the windscreen, they would call it in Britain. In England, through your windshield, looking at the road ahead of us and where we're going. We're still on mission with Jesus Christ. We're still going to reach this city with the good news of Jesus Christ. We're still going to be planted in our neighborhoods and rooted in our neighborhoods through small groups, relational groups. But there's an open highway ahead of us if we can envision that this morning and let the Lord do his work through us and in us. But I want to surrender to what God has, and I want to be obedient in that as he calls and he leads us as a church, as a family, as a congregation. God, what do you have in store for us? And that's why I believe it's important that we start off the new year with prayer and fasting. I don't want to hit the ground running this year blindly. I want to hit the ground running built on a framework of discipline and surrender. And fasting doesn't have to be without food. Fasting can be disciplining yourself through how much Facebook time you use every morning, or how much Instagram, or how much TikTok you are selfieing yourself through. How much time I spend at Tim Hortons, or whatever that discipline is that you feel like God is leading you in, fast from it. Take some time to specifically fast, whether it be a meal or from something that you're engaging in. Maybe it's inappropriate even. Maybe it hasn't been something that's actually feeding your soul, but it's been feeding your body. And your body man is stronger than your spirit man. And we talked about spiritual surrender and spiritual order. The body in surrender to the soul, and the soul in surrender to the spirit. Being the spirit has been unified with Christ and made alive and has power by the power of the Holy Spirit. So walking in that spiritual order. Maybe it's cravings, maybe it's addictions. Whatever it is, say, God, what can I surrender and lay on the altar of sacrifice that I might discipline myself? It's not that you earn anything from God. God loves you regardless. But what it does is it starts to wear down that wall that I have built one peg at a time, one stone at a time, one picket at a time, that I have walled myself up in my own cravings, in my own lust, in my own desires. But disciplining myself starts to shrink those so that I can be in that perfect surrender. I can walk in obedience and not be obstructed by my own well-being, my own selfish ambitions. And of course, prayer is our communication with God. We talk to him like he's right beside us. You can read him, you can have poems, you can have songs, but you can also just have open conversation with him. So I encourage for 21 days, I would encourage us as a church to do it together, that we pick something to fast from and we join in on prayer intentionally for the 21 days, praying for us as a whole, as a family, praying for our surrender in mission. How can I be on mission with you, Jesus, in my workplace, in my relationships, in my home, in my neighborhood? I want to respond in obedience to the callings that you have for me, Jesus. And I want to be activated, equipped, and on mission. When we reflect on Ephesians 4, here's the three things that we're going to pray into strategically as a church. And using the framework of Ephesians 4, the typology, we see the need for spiritual unity. We see the need for missional unity. And we also see the need for relational unity. Without any one of the unifying pillars, we grow weary. We become demoralized. We fight and we bicker about silly things, about not keeping the main thing, wrestling about the big T versus the small T things, the big T theology, small T theology, keeping the main thing. So spiritual unity, missional unity, and relational unity. So we're going to pray into those three aspects, those three pillars. We're going to build those three pillars through prayer and self-discipline here as a congregation. Why? So that we're setting ourselves up to champion the mission that God has for us. It's hard to remember sometimes it's not all about us. We are here to further the kingdom of heaven, to advance the kingdom of heaven. We are on mission with Jesus. And I hope to encourage you this morning to seek God, to inspire you, and to point out the directions that he has specifically for you to walk as a disciple-making follower of Jesus. Unified by the unifier, which is Christ in you, by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into your hearts, on co-mission with Jesus, activated, the sent ones, the incarnation of Jesus in the earth, fully embodied in you and I as a collective in a body. Some of us like to look at the opposites So, you know, the north versus the south, the good versus the bad, to make decisions. So here's one for you to ponder. The word is insular. Something to say, God, I don't want to be this, just in case you need something to pray about. Insular means ignorant of or uninterested in cultures, ideas, or peoples outside one's own experience. Narrow-minded, limited, restricted, inward-looking, small-minded, petty-minded, closed-minded, short-sighted, inflexible, dogmatic, rigid, entrenched, intolerant, prejudiced, bigoted, biased, partisan, sectarian, discriminatory. Lacking contact with other people, don't do life alone. People living restricted and sometimes insular existence. This is not how God has designed you to live. Similarly, isolated, inaccessible, cut off, closed, segregated, detached, solitary, lonely, self-contained, self-sufficient, relating to or from an island. Don't be an island to yourself. Romans 14 and 7. Why we're not insular. Verse 7 says, for none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We belong to him. We've been purchased, redeemed, plucked out of sin and darkness, and now belong to him. You are now a servant in the kingdom of heaven, and he's got a task for you to accomplish. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14 says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who their sake died and was raised. You're not your own. You are someone else's. God, Jesus, purchased you, redeemed you. You belong to him. And obedience, we work out our salvation. We work out of our point of salvation. We work out of our point of grace. This grace that I have experienced, this love that I have experienced, the works that pour through me, the works that work through me is God himself working through you and I, the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, continuing the task that he started is now up to us to complete, that those that are far from God come and find repentance in Christ Jesus through faith. Scripture talks about a man that looks back over the field he plows and says he's unfit for the kingdom of God. Verse Luke chapter 9 and 62 says, Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Remembering what kingdom we belong to, with our eyes focused on what lies ahead, diligent, persevering, with our faces set like flint, as the prophet Isaiah puts it, grit, resilience, not tossed here and there, to and fro, by every wave of every dispute or doctrine of cunningness and craftiness, as Ephesians tells us. But when we're spiritually unified, missionally unified, and relationally unified in Christ first, and it belongs to one another, because we're the body of Christ, we benefit from that unity, spiritually, missionally, relationally. Philippians 3, I'm almost done. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. I'm not perfect yet. That's what Paul's saying here. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only, let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you now, tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body, but by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Instead of judging one another in 2020, a year ahead of us, we can walk together along this path called obedience in Christ, not as antagonizing enemies of the cross and spirit of grace. And we do this by forgetting past mistakes, past regrets, past failures, even, I might say, past successes, because it's not about the past and what's behind you. It's laying that aside and saying, this is where I'm going. And with my face set as flint, I'm going there. I'm pressing on towards the mark and prize. And there's another marker. There's the marker. I'm going with resilience and grit. Ability to have the water run off my back sometimes like a duck. The troubles, the strife. We strive forward, pushing forward, that we may not fail to realize his ideal, his plan, and his concept. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about my selfish ambition. I say, God, this is yours. This job is yours. This financial situation is yours. God, this dilemma, this situation, this relational hurt, this sadness, this angst, God, I need to give it to you again because I'm pressing on towards the mark. I'm pressing on his plan and concept. This world is not our home. It's only our inn, our Motel 6. Small cadres of beloved communities infiltrating our society and changing it from the inside out. That's you and I in small groups, in your home, in your workplace. Here is a quote from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I wouldn't mind adopting this for our house if we could. Our goal is to create a beloved community, and this will require a qualitative change in our souls, as well as a quantitative change in our lives. Wow. Second quote that I have from Reverend Dr. Brenda Salter McNeil, who is a modern-day Martin Luther King Jr. My hope isn't that we change the social order, but instead that, like Jesus and his disciples, we build small cadres of the beloved community that can infiltrate society and change it from the inside out. That's what we're here to do. You and I on mission with Jesus, powered by the Holy Spirit that's been poured out into our hearts.